after volunteering, and I have prepared the conclusion that your life sucks, that you've done everything that you can do by your own power and it's just wrecked your life. I have the answer. Christ Jesus said that he'll take a broken life just as you are and give you a new beginning. Now here's how you do it. It's not hard. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just simply say, Lord, I've messed my life up. And I want you to come in and be Lord and Master of my life. Give me a new beginning. And Father, take me to heaven when I die. That's plain and simple. And that's exactly what God said he will do. Okay. So now for those that have done that, just from me talking with you, and you did that, welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
Okay. Well, what he's laid on my heart is prayer. This church is building a new building out here that is larger, that can seat more people. And there's a reason for it. We believe that we shouldn't sit and let anybody be lost. We're concerned with your welfare. Okay. So now I want to start speaking about prayer. Some of you... I'll speak for myself. Do it that way. That way it's less intrusive. There's been times in my life when I had a view of God that was kind of like this beautiful blue bottle. I'd come to church on Sunday. I brought God with me. Now, during the week, he sat on a shelf. But on Sunday, I always had him with me. He was portable and handy. And then I started thinking, well, if I've got God with me and he's in a bottle, he must be somewhat like a genie, granting wishes. So my prayers were much like this. If I can figure out how I get out of the bottle. Okay. God, I need you. God, do you hear me? I need to make some wishes. God, you know my knee's been bothering me all week this week. And I'm in a lot of pain with it. Father, make the pain go away. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, my back's kind of stiff. Father, while you're at it, make my back pain go away. Now, 5 to 7 minutes later, I'll see you next week, Lord. And I didn't need to pray anymore. Because after all, I had spoke my desires to the Lord. I know he has the power to do it. So, sounds good to me, and I never needed to pray through the week. However, I found out this didn't work because it made some big errors in my thinking. One error was, God's no genie. The second error was, I'm not in charge. So those prayers didn't get me very far. So as I was thinking about what I was going to do tonight, he brought these examples to me. And then he said, you know, you would have more power and more authority if we had a conversation. You know, that's where this comes in. Okay, put up the scriptures for me, please. In John 15, verses 9 through 17. 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be full. And I said, well, yes, Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on him would not perish but have eternal life. That's a lot of love. Can we go further? Oh, you did. Remaining in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That got me thinking. I said, Lord, that's a pretty great love. For you loved me when I was lost, when I was a sinner, when I was hopeless without you and headed for destruction. You gave up your life for me. And then I started thinking, Lord, am I like you? And he showed me a river at flood time. And all of a sudden, the river was full of people. Some I knew, some I didn't know. And they were coming by. Well, when I was young in the Lord, I was content to sit on the bank and wave to them as they went by. I didn't get involved. That was their free moral choice. They can do what they want to. It wasn't my responsibility. Then as I grew in the Lord, and the Lord started speaking to my heart and saying, wait a minute. Your desire is to be like me. And if your desire is to be like me, then that means your heart should be after these that are lost, because they're going to destruction. So I realized, okay, I guess I can pull out a branch, a log, a twig, a life preserver, something like that, and throw out to try to give them help. Because if God loves them so much, and I want to be like my Lord and Savior, then my love has to be unconditional. It doesn't matter any longer what they look like, what they're dressed in, the habits they have, the language they speak. My Father loves them, so I love them. Okay. So this morning, the pastor was talking and prayed for those that had physical needs. And so, seems how we were there. Most of us were there this morning. I'm not going to recover the same ground, because I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that work that he did this morning was complete. Next scriptures. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know
what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I thought, okay. Then the lights went on. Do you realize that Jesus is exactly like us? I know sometimes we get to thinking, well, he can do all these signs and wonders and everything because of one thing. He's the Son of God, and he's God himself incarnate. Right? But yet, according to his word, he says, the things that I do, you shall do greater than these things because I go to the Father. But we don't see it. And I was talking, I said, Lord, but why don't we see it? And what he said is right there in black and white in the scriptures. He says, for all things that I heard from my Father, I made known to you. And I thought, well, that makes sense. For if Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, even though he was endued with God's power, if Jesus did not spend time talking to the Father in a communication that was open and constant, he would have no idea if the Father wanted him to go heal this person or raise this person from the dead or anything else. And guess what? He would be just as powerless as the world is today. The power of God is based on communion, conversation, relationship. So, if we want to see Myrtle Creek have the fire of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders and everything being done and giving God all the glory that is due him, then it's time for us to quit sitting on the bank of the river and watching the sinners go by. So what I'm going to encourage you tonight to do is to start that conversation. Let him out of the bottle and out of just being here on Sunday. And know that he's as close as your next breath every single day of the week. We're going to go on now with worship just as we always have. The purpose is because coming for God, before God, the worship always came first. Even in the march around Jericho that brought the walls down, the Ark of the Covenant was out there, and then the musicians with praise and worship as they marched. We're going to do the same thing tonight. We're going to worship. There's no offering to be taken. There's no distractions to be taken. I encourage each and every one of you to take the time tonight to start a precious, ongoing communication with God and take him with you every day this week. When you're in your car driving to work, sing praises to the Lord. He's listening. Don't think that the Lord doesn't hear and doesn't know what's going on. Because I know different from my own experience. One day I was on the job. I was blowing bark mulch off the street from a job that we had done. And that little fine stuff went up into the air, and it blew right back in my face and got in my eyes. And without thinking, I just said, Lord, why doesn't the wind ever blow the other way and not in my face when I do these jobs? That's me. And God just as quickly spoke to me. And he says, and why is it, my son, that when it blows the other way, you never give me praise? I kind of went, whoa, you're listening. I didn't know you were listening. I didn't mean anything by it. Don't strike me dead. I'll be fine. So I can tell you from firsthand experience that he's right there. Even for the idle comment, he's always listening. In fact, The fact that you're standing or sitting or here tonight is thanks to Him. And I'm not just talking about your creation. For He holds every atom in your body together. If He would for one moment say, okay, Mike, you screwed up so much, I don't want to remember you anymore. He'd be gone. Because He's holding Him together. He holds our universe together. He has all that power. And for us to start reaching the lost world, because we're flat running out of time. Turn on your TV set. Any news broadcast. You don't even need an announcer. Look at the pictures on the screen and see revelations unfold before your very eyes. It's here, folks. Christ's return is our hope. He said He's coming back, and He is. But we don't know when. So if you're not ready to meet Him, then take the opportunity tonight when you're talking to the Lord and say, Father, I need your blessed assurance. Okay? All right. As we go forth now, I want to encourage you. This is going to be a personal conversation between you and God. This is a prayer meeting tonight. And I encourage you to take time doing just that, praying. I want you to take any position that you would take if at this moment you're standing before God. Now, if you're standing in His presence and that's how you're going to be, then do it. When you're in the presence of God, you're going to be on your hands and knees, then get on your hands and knees. Don't worry about people around here right now. There's enough people here that we're like one big happy family. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's paying any attention. The altars are open. At any time from here out, you're welcome to the altars. You're welcome to kneel where you're at. You're welcome to sit where you're at. But let's start a conversation that will win Myrtle Creek. Because this building out here is not for our glory. This building out here isn't to be seen. This building out here is to be used to win the lost. We can't sit on the edge of the bank and watch them fall into hell any longer. Time's running out. We have to save and offer a way of escape. It's our responsibility. Because, see, I don't want to stand before God and say, God, I know that there were thousands of people that came across my path every day. And a lot of them didn't know You. And I didn't care enough to let them know they don't have to die. I didn't care enough to let them know that they could live forever, rather than suffer torment. I don't want their blood on my head or on my hands. And so, as we bear fruit, that was in the last verse. Can you pop up the last verse there? Okay. You that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And you can't say you love somebody if you want to watch them die. So tonight, like I said, we're going to go on with worship and entering into God's presence. And as we enter into God's presence, feel free to close your eyes or whatever and go off into prayer. Because I'm not going to be back up here tonight to speak or to say anything else. This is worship and prayer tonight. Because we want to see
Myrtle Creek, Canyonville, Roseburg, Winston, come to know Jesus Christ. And the only way we're going to have the power to do that, to be able to show signs and wonders from those that believe and have faith, is that we have it. And the only way we're going to have it is if we're listening to Him. And when He says, go do this, go do that, we do it in obedience and see God manifest His power. Because it's no man. It's God's power. God's the one that has the power. He's the one that wields the power. But all we have to do is be obedient and speak it. And when we speak what He says to speak, He does the work that His Father may be glorified. So we're now going forward with prayer.